Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome everybody to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Guys, sorry about the late start. There was a fire on the block and then everybody had to get out for a few minutes, so I'm sorry about the delay. But we are here now. We're going to get moving. So thanking God for another day of being here. I want to thank my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Nevis, DJ Domerica, Rodney Williams, Monster Mouth, and of course, Deacon Betty Williams from Toledo, Ohio, for all that they do production-wise, community-wise, and as well as on the show. To my starting panelists, Altaric Atkins, Bailo Jenkins, Professor Carlton Jones, Kim Milton, Erica Talbert, Darlene and Arlene, Patrick Irvine, and Kevin Crosby, you guys have been phenomenal in helping to keep the show going. So I want to thank you all very much for your contributions to the show. And I want to thank our panelists last night who really had so much to say about in this series of this important topic. So thank you for that. All of you out there in my social media world, the Real World Black News and Discussions Group and the Black History Suppress Group under the tutelage of Mark Pittman. I want to thank you. I want to thank Patrick Irvine with the Urban Intellectuals, Professor Carlton Jones with the What About Us Group, Katie Barnett with the On the Edge Listeners Lounge, to Linda Miller with the Black Love and Conversations Group, and Marvin Young with the Capitalist End Group. You guys have been nonstop chatters, and I do appreciate that, and giving me all of your insight, your feedback, your experiences, as well as your suggested solutions to the pre-broadcast topic questions that I put out there, which really helped my team and myself get out there and try to look for what we need to fight for out here to make these things happen. Now, this week, the last couple of segments, we have been discussing the separation of church and school segment, which as much as the title implies what the Catalyst article was to start this series, there are different aspects that really boil down to the effects of government interference into our daily lives. And I will say that tonight's conclusion, we're going to be touching on a very sensitive subject and government interference, the effects of it in a positive or negative way. But guys, I do need to regroup a little bit here. We're just getting in. So you know how this goes. A word from our sponsor, the pre-broadcast song, and I'll be back in just a bit. So guys, here is Kelly Price, Retired, a word from our sponsors, and we'll get this discussion started. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
There's a hole in my heart.
Back and forth,
tired of in and out,
the
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
And welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. It is discussion time. We have been dealing with a three-part series. Tonight, we will conclude with separation of church and school. Today, part three is about the government decides paternity. We are speaking about a very sensitive issue, which I believe really it's the birth of so much corruption and so much corrupted minds and thinking and the way some of these children, these men, these women, everything's all messed up. Why? Because once again, an act of government interference into certain aspects of our lives and some very twisted laws or catch-22s really affect the natural order of things. Now, those of you who are regulars with me know I do have a straight, cutting-edge approach to certain things, and I also am a person that I do not believe that just because I am an official member of a race or a gender or a particular special class that everything that particular membership does is correct. Men get a bad rap just as much as women have gotten bad raps. And in this particular instance, the paternity of a child's identity, okay, comes into play. Now, only a mom really knows if the person that impregnated them is really the person standing in front of them. So, ladies, that's on us. If we truly want to give our children a good start for about certain situations. Now, there are plenty of situations where a child's paternity, you know, was thought to be one thing and it turned out to be another. Very rare instances where, you know, that it really was a true mistake or whatever the case is. But for a man to bond with a child, for a child to bond with a man, only to find out, be it early on or later in their life when the child can now understand the situation, that the biology is all wrong. Okay? Now, there's a little law in place where when a man finds out after maybe suspecting that his ex or his parent was cheating or had an affair and starts to doubt something about the child that they have grown to love and have cared for X amount of time, that the child is not biologically theirs. Now, I have heard so many mixed responses. Some people, I believe, really were off the cuff in their thinking. Some people were just outright heartless. A lot of men were really coming forth because they probably were victims of or have known people who were victims of paternity fraud on the part of a woman and then double violated by this law, you know, in America toward the men. Now, here's the situation. A child is born to a mother that was married to someone. That woman bears the man's last name. The child is automatically born into the marriage and assumed by law that the father on the marriage license is the father of the child that was born into wedlock. Now, we're speaking on marriage right now. Now, X amount of time later, it's revealed that the child is not the man's child, biologically. Now, this man may go one of two ways. He may continue to want to be this person's father, because oftentimes, as much as it should be that it's not about the child, it really turns out to be about the child, about a man's pride and about the money issue and everything else. You know, we tend to try to give men a bad rap, and understand, for those of you that are out there that have really been victimized by really bad men for bad reasons, for whatever the case is, please remember what I tell you. If the shoe does not fit, do not wear it. I am not exonerating any of you local jerks out there that have been deadbeats by choice, that are all about, you know, sandbagging these girls and doing whatever. This doesn't apply to you. This applies to those men that are out there trying to step up to the plate, really and truly loving a child that was the victim of a woman's problem of cheating and then lying about it. Now, after that emotional trauma takes place, now we're talking about legally, if this man wants to disconnect himself from the child's mother and from the child. No, by law, he is legally that child's parent. Now, if you're not married and you signed an order of acknowledgement of paternity paper, believing that everything is peachy with the person that, you know, you have watched your pregnancy with, you've gone through with, you were there at the birth, you've formed a bond, but now you find out that the person really cheated and the child is not yours and she had her reasons for whatever it was, and you're really pissed off and you're really hurt and you're really messed up. But by law, the law claims to look out for the best interest of the child and say, well, he or she has gotten to know you as their dad, so you are legally on the hook for his or her care. All right, now don't get me wrong. I agree to a point. Yes, it is going to be an emotional wreckage for the child, you know, when the news comes out. However, if this is a man that, regardless of what the blood test said, they still want to bond with this child, should that not be the man's choice to do? And doesn't anybody think that with all of the betrayal that this man is dealing with all of the hurt, and of course a man's pride and a man's ego, looking at this child that he's raised, that believed was his, if after the pain was over and he wasn't under the gun of the law saying, nope, you're on the hook for it, nope, you have to pay for them, nope, you have been in there this long, nope, the child's going to be messed up, nope, it's this. If all of those factors weren't in place, in addition to what humanly he has to deal with, would this not then be better for the child, for everybody to know the truth, and this man still continue to want to be in that child's life? That is where and government interference is a problem. You put a law out there that in the end, okay, having this person pay child support, and now let's look at this scenario, and the biological father has come into play, and this woman and this biological father has reconnected, and this man is spitting in the legal father's face that, well, it's my kid, and you can't do this, but he's on the hook for paying child support. Okay, that is going to cause way more damage for this child than for the child to find out that the person they love is not connected by blood. So this entire series, no matter what particular segment we were discussing or what particular part we were discussing, it tonight is about the interference and the effects of government into paternity. Paternity fraud. When a woman knows that there's either no way or a big possibility that the person she has spent on fatherhood is not the father, okay? Ladies, let's be real here. It happens quite often, all right? We know that, you know, quite a bit of the majority of stories about bad relationships gone wrong and cheating and things to that effect, usually it's the men are the ones the stories come out. But let's be real, Okay? Women are just as trifling. And when we get trifling, we are twice as bad because we don't have the physical ability to fight it out or just, you know, duke it out and it's over. We use our brains to get trifling, which in turn causes so much more damage and fallout. And, you know, we can't sit there and say that in that respect that that was a wrong thing to do to me, you know, deliberately, not to mention the irreparable damage on your child. Now, with that being said, why hasn't the government then amended this law to say that if DNA proves that there is no longer a connection biologically, why aren't the fathers then entitled to turn away and say, I love the child, but I'm not going to give the mother something for this child because I'm obligated to, or because I believed in this relationship and never suspected that this could be a possibility? Wouldn't then, in turn, if the person wasn't under the gun, to pay out money to somebody that he knows is an heir, wouldn't then, after the pain is over, that person would have a clearer head to connect back with whatever emotional bond he formed with the child and be able to care for that child of his own volition? I think more of the damage would go to the anger and the frustration and the feelings of betrayal that not only the woman did, but now the law is doing as well. In that respect, I don't believe that the law has the right to make that type of a mandate. So I see a couple of you have been waiting in to speak, and well, I'll expand a little more as I go in, but let me hear what it is that you have to say. So my question tonight is, what do you think of government putting out a law that a man who's been proven by DNA not to be the father of a child, that you think about the government mandating them, no matter what comes up, for them to continue to be responsible for that child? And do you think that that law it really is more beneficial or more hurtful to the child? That's the question on the table. I have three people in line, so let me bring them in one at a time. Hang on a minute. Welcome to the show, Corey. You're on the air. Okay. Welcome to the show, Paul. You on the air?
Oh, yes. My response to that is it depends. Like, if she was in a marriage and she was raped, that's the only way that he should have a courtesy. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's why he should be still in support of her, like if she was raped. But if she got in and had a whole nother affair, that means the other man needs to be the one ran after to take care of that child.
Absolutely. I believe
that. Women need to have to be more responsible, and until we get a steady culture in our community, we're just going to have all these flip-flops and flaggies going on. So, you know, one thing besides monogamy and people being more serious about life, because, you know, I'm just like, some women, you know, you was making a statement, but some women wouldn't know who their baby dad is because, you know, if you hear them on a talk show, they say they have 5 guys a day.
Right. Cry when Wally says, you are not the father. Panelists, I see you there. Just hang on a second. Shauna, I got to tell you this. The government used this particular excuse to put this mandate in place. Now, I do understand from a point what they mean. I don't think that type of damage that they're using as the excuse to put this in place is actually beneficial to the child. This is my thing. I believe that if a man finds out that this isn't his child, depending on, I don't know, whatever his mindset is about the overall relationship or wherever he's at, I believe that if the law, after he already has to deal with the fact that in his mind he's been played, he's a fool, he's been a fool, he kind of got tested before, but he didn't check it out, and he just went along and believed it, then fell in love with the baby. So now, this baby's a little bit older, they've bonded, and this woman drops a bombshell, or whatever reason he found out that this bombshell exists, he's not the baby's biological father. I believe that once, if he truly loves this child and that child really has a place in his heart, there's no way that place is ever going to be vacated for him. But He needs time to be able to deal with the betrayal and then sort out all the stuff. But if the law is sitting up there, garnishing his check, forcing him to do whatever, threatening to take his life, and threatening to put him in jail, threatening to watch every single place he goes, wherever his social security number comes up, threatening loans or anything he could do to live life so that they can take his money, pretending that it's in the best interest of a child he has come to love and really, in his mind, probably feels he never had the right to do so in that capacity. I don't think that the child is going to benefit, because it's going to take much longer and be a bigger fight for this man to come to grips with the fact that, regardless of what this trifling bitch did, I love this child and I'm going to be in that child's life regardless. So what do you think about that? Do you think that the government's mandating actually would make it worse for the child, or what they're saying is the reason for doing this really truly in protection for the child?
Well, you have to consider all parts of, you know, if he was deceived, you know, so far as with the child, I mean, you know, just like Tyler Perry found out what decades later of who he thought, the guy that he thought was his father wasn't his father. So either way, one day or another, the child is going to be disturbed, whether they grown, you know, but the law, so with the law mandating that it once it's proven that you're not the father, you don't have to pay no more, right?
No, it's saying that regardless of the DNA results, that you are the father legally. Not biologically, but legally, you're on the hook for that child.
Well, I know some states, I forgot where I read that article at a few weeks ago, they have them where the mother has to pay that money back. And I know they have it written, but I know it's not enforced in the state of Louisiana, where it's a felony if she claims the wrong man as the father. Now, that's written up in words, but I know they don't enforce it.
Well, I hope they do, because I actually think that anybody who could play that deliberate game, the father shouldn't be on the hook. And I think the father should have the right, after the DNA is off, to legally be off the hook and choose to continue to deal with that child or not. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, morally he should be able to say, regardless of what took place, I still love you and that doesn't matter. But I don't think the law should say that he's on the hook for 50% of that child's expense.
No. If anything, she needs to be trying to pay that money. But, you know, like I said, the only, you know, so there's exceptions to the rule. If he was married to her and she was raped, then, yeah, he still has a responsibility as, you know, as back on the plantation when the master raped the woman, you know, if he truly a husband. But if she went out there and she voluntarily, you know, got loose, then she needs to get done and suffer the consequences. People have to be more responsible, and the first thing to caring about your children is caring about yourself.
Absolutely, I agree with that 100%. Let me bring our other panelists and stay on the line with me, sweetheart. Let me start here. Welcome to the show. Call you on the air.
Good evening to the panel. This is Tariq calling from Alabama.
Hey, my Tech 9 is here. Hold on, honey. There's somebody behind you, and you'll have the mic first. Welcome to the show. Call you on the air.
Hey, this is Carlos Olivier Jones of Stalo Jenkins calling from D.C.
Hey there, Carlos. How you doing? Okay. Carlos, you're up after Al Tariq. So, Al Tariq, this is my question. Do you think now, as I said before, the government claims that they put this in place because once a child gets to know a particular father, I mean, man as his or her father, that stripping that man away or, you know, freeing him from obligation where the child may lose monetary or, you know, financial care, it will be an irreparable damage emotionally to the child. A, do you think that that's true? And B, should a man be able to freely walk away without penalty if he chooses to do so once DNA proves he's not the father?
If he's, that they were claiming that if he's there, from what I read, that if he's there when the child's conceived and, you know, and all that stuff, and therefore, what, I think for after a little while or something like that, then he should be able to, be the child's father. And, you know, that's a hard one, and I don't think that it should be just mandatory. I think that should be his choice, because if you're going to do something like that, now, if y'all get married, you know, you the stepdad, that's a little different. You know, but if y'all not married or nothing like that, then I don't see that that's right at all. You know, but if y'all made them vows and stuff like that, then, you know, I can understand that. You know, because maybe that can help people to, you know, I kind of got an open mind too. I don't fully agree with it, but just having an open mind, I say that, you know, with how there's so much of a lack of fathers out there, especially for, you know, for the black family, that, you know, that may be kind of a thing to, like, deter that, you know, I was thinking. But, you know, it's a rough thing because, you know, I don't feel as though they should just be forced from the way that they put it. You know, it really have to be some type of special type of circumstances on it, not the way that they draw it up to make it law. I don't feel that. You know, I don't feel that at all. But if you're going to be there, like, you know, a person come in and then sometimes, you know, the kid, the father's not really there for them, you know, and then the person steps in and they're genuinely, authentically in love with that woman, then they take on the role of the father anyway, like how it used to be. Because so many people wasn't saying, but this ain't none of my child, I don't have to do this, or that, you know, it's different now from how it used to be years ago. You know, so a lot of us would just take up that role once upon a time anyway. But since things have changed, then I guess that they saying that, well, we're going to force you to be this because the stereotype is that we don't take care of our kids. So maybe that's why they're trying to just make you take care of the kids, even if it's not your kid. Because they said, well, they kind of probably say, well, this is, you know, they need the men, they need their fathers. So we going to make them be fathers to them. And I don't think that you should have to do that, because that should be up to the parents, like how you were saying about them interfering with stuff. You know, so I think that should be up to the parents. They shouldn't be in every aspect of people's lives. If you want to take away certain things like religion and all that type of stuff, then let people decide on how they want to go about raising their babies. And they can do this, you know, intelligently and in a cordial manner on their own. So that you shouldn't have to govern what they're doing as far as how they're going to go about bringing up these children. You know, but if it's mitigating circumstances depending on how their relationship was formed and stuff like that, and they were together for quite some time and stuff, and I could see them put some, you know, a little bit of added type things on to it, but I don't think that they should be making it where it's just mandatory that you have to be the dad, because you don't know how long them two gonna be together, especially how it is today. Because people get married, and then 6 months or a year, the person bounces. You know, so I don't know. I wouldn't say that that's the proper way just to go about it, you know. So I don't fully agree with it. You know, big part. Yeah, go ahead.
I love what you said, Altari. And still, I'm going to come to you in just a minute. First of all, that crap about it's to protect the child is a BS smokescreen if I've ever heard it. It's about money. It's about capitalist money. Let me explain this to you. It's a biological for deadbeat dads that are out there are not mandated to spend time with their children while they're being chased for child support. How the hell does the government think that mandating a person who got duped by somebody that they love and got... in their mind, the bond that they formed with somebody that anybody could come in now and say, you step out the way because this is my kid. I don't care how much you love him. Oh, well, step aside. How the hell do they think that mandating this person to pay now, continue to pay, under the threat of penalty, is going to help that child have a warm, emotional, secure environment. Now, who the hell do they think they're speaking to? If that was the case, and if it was all about the child's well-being in the mind, then why aren't you mandating these fathers who've been proven by DNA, who have skated through the system, who have skated around taking care of their children? And you say, well, if you don't want to be a dad, the least you're going to do is be on the hook legally to pay for your child because by blood, it's yours. If you could settle for just making them pay child support as the biological, blood-proven daddy, because you can't force them to be good fathers, but you can force them to pay for their child's needs, then why would you think that mandating somebody who got snared and trapped into the situation is going to help the child in any way? Taylor, what's your thoughts on the situation?
Katie?
One minute, I have to give him his chance, and then come back to you, okay? Just hold your thoughts to your head. Call us where you at. Okay, Shona, go ahead. We'll chime in right there.
What I want to say is you definitely is correct about when the DNA test is proven, and then they get there and still be playing their cheating tricks where they won't even count all the income he make to give your child a fair percentage. They won't have them fairly pay for the medical expenses. And they even get there and they won't have them accountable. They check to be late and stuff like that. It's like, okay, you supposed to be all cool about it. And then when you ask for an appeal to definitely get the correct amount of child support that's owed to your child to get the fair share, they get there and tell you going around in circles like you sending the papers to the wrong office. But the person that's around there and have 5'10", it's like they feel entertained with those baby mamas. They have 5'10", 20 men that's coming through the child support office or claiming the wrong man, and the man signed the birth certificate. Oh, they quickly get justice for them. So it's like, are they intentionally doing stuff like this here?
But see,
right. And now I saw an article. I was trying to get back to it, but apparently I guess it got lost in the internet thread. But they actually are, it seems like they're trying to, I guess, rethink their policies, because there was talk in this article about child support being sued to pay back overpayments to these men. Acknowledgement of paternity applies to unmarried couples only.
Maybe.
Okay? Meaning that I'm not married to this mother, but I accept and acknowledge that that's my child. You understand? And the child that was born, I believe. Now, you saying that and then finding out later that, you know, the baby isn't yours, you still, to me, should be able to make the choice of whether or not you want to stay in that child's life. I think there's a bigger chance of a person coming to grips with their hurt and their pain and their anger and getting back to protecting the child they've come to love or reinstating, you know, their relationship with that child, more so than them looking at that child and saying, I love you, but you're not mine, and yet I can't move forward, you know, because they're taking money from my check without asking me, or they're threatening to take my driver's license, or they're threatening to arrest me if I go over state lines. I think that when the government steps the hell out of it and let human nature take its course, that there'll be a better result in certain things. Now, the government interference on men that are willfully breeding, feeding, and jetting off, yeah, okay, that's when those deadbeat dads need to be chased down. And to those idiots that call in when I have the segments about that, if you have gotten to the point that the government has to come and tell you that now we have to step in to force you to pay for your child's needs, then you deserve to be under a child support law. And I'm not speaking about those men that are being chased down by vindictive women. I'm speaking about those guys that know that they were schooling with these girls, that know that the babies in there is theirs.
Yeah.
And it's been proven, but they're skating around and not doing a damn thing anyway. But they're living it up. Okay?
Yeah.
Those men, if you have to be told that you brought a child into the world and you know what, you need to feed the child, clothe the child, you know, take them to dance or taken to basketball practice. If you have to be told that by a stranger in a court of law, then you deserve every damn thing that you're getting. Because if you know that at a certain time of night, your stomach starts rumbling and you can go off to the store to buy yourself something to eat, what do you think your child is doing who doesn't have a job? So those men exempt from this. But for those guys that took on this because they believed in the partner they were with, and they loved this person, and they took everything they had to give that child the best of a life with what they were able to give, and would go above and beyond to go fill in whatever else needed to be filled in. Only find out that somebody they loved and trusted cheated on them and still tried to pass off that possibility to this person. Okay, and then the Lord now is saying, the hell with what the DNA says, we see it. You still got to pay for it, even if the father steps up.
Yeah.
There's been scenarios where the men that were cheated on split up with the ladies that cheat on them. She was back up with the biological father. They're living together, and he's paying her child support. And you know what she's doing with it? She's caring for well as putting it into the bills to sustain her and the man who got her pregnant in the first place. So how fair is that?
If I may.
Yeah, go ahead, hon.
You know, if I may, it's all for all, you know. And what I really want to point out from everything and what I think they're saying, because it's nothing new. I mean, I think that law, I think they put that law in Maryland in the 80s, and I'm gonna talk about it, but it's paternity fraud. You know, it began with the white man and the European, and his racist culture, his rapist culture, and the shame that it brings along. You know what I mean? So we gotta remember where it really comes from: paternity fraud, suppressing paternity, don't know who the baby father is, won't say who the baby father is. All of this. So when we talk about penalties, you know, when we think about penalties, we should really think about them and go in that direction with them. Because instead of rectification and healing, what they have done is nothing but, like, instead of rectification and healing of the black family since slavery, post-antebellum South, since they was flogging us for saying anything about paternity, right? You know, they didn't go for healing, but they went for exploitation. Maliciously, they prosecute men and put children in the system. So we are talking about the infiltration and the interference from the government. And if we look at it, you know, we see that, you know, white, okay, the non-disenfranchised, the non-discriminated against people of America see law enforcement far less than we do. They see it at a far less of a rate. So at the end of the day, because they have misappropriated our tax dollars in the police department, the judicial systems, and the courtroom, the money we pay them, they misappropriate them, and they profile black people and poor people only and let everybody else get away with crime. So they misappropriate our dollars and make that happen. And at the end of the day, they have family court. They have separate divisions of court dealing with all this, and all they're doing is making money, putting our children in the system. Everything they interfere with is a failure. You know, if you look at everything they interfere with, law enforcement, it's a failure. The places where there's most law enforcement, the places where they profile and they so-called have all these campaigns for making crime decrease, always increases crime. When children go through the adoption process, the foster care system, it has the highest rate of suicide, it has the highest rate of failure, period, you know. So when we look at what they interfere with, they, you know, okay, now we're talking about them interfering in tax dollars and child support and all that. They fail because through a middleman deceptive type of way, they have created a culture, you know, that has tried to phase out the black man. And we sometimes forget that little portion of it and that portion of it is isolated sometimes when we talk about the entire black family. when you talk about children, they don't want black men interfering with the children they want to make money off of, you know. And no, people don't really need to be ran after. We need to run after them, you know. When it comes to the courts in the systems, why don't we have community courts? Like, if they have family courts, why are those not more? You know, it doesn't make sense that if we look at it, you know,
you're right on that one. But you know, in this respect, we have a lot of the government interference is directly related to the fact that they put a law in place at this moment that even if a man is proven not to be the father,
it's like that in Maryland.
Their own that he's still legally on the hook to pay for the needs of the child. And the excuse that they use to justify that particular mandate is that it would hurt the child emotionally to be stripped from a father because of a DNA result. And that's absolute fact. Because there are children out there, who have fathers that they know are their fathers, that are biologically related to these children, and the only thing the law can do is force them legally to pay for the part that if it was an ideal situation, he would
and
have
that's
to do.
With that. That's them with that intellectual racism trying to infiltrate further, you know what I mean? Because what they do is they stigma us, and they look at, like Merlin, for instance. They've had this law, if you're married to a woman and she has a child by another man, you are still legally the father of that child, no matter what. There's nothing you can do about that, okay, in Maryland, all right? Now, then people talk about that back and forth all the time. It's like a common thing people talk about, you know, in the D.C. metropolitan. However, it's funny because the reason for it is because the law enforcement in Maryland is most focused in PG County, which is all black. I'm talking about all black, like 90%, and it's the most supposedly the most affluent, money-moving black county in the United States of America. But that's where the law enforcement really moves around here. And they get involved in people's families a lot. And that's the black people, and all the poor people, whatever we have out here, whatever. But anyway, they get involved in it. And they stigma people with their intellectual racism, the sociologists, the people that say, oh, their father's system, and they can't. We need to step in and make sure the father supports the child because they can't do it themselves. We need to do this. We need to do that. Instead of forming incentives as a government, now we talk about other governments in places that if you're married and have a child, they give you like a $50,000 incentive because you had a child, because that's good for the society. Now. That's a better way. See, what our court systems, our legal systems, our family systems lack innovation, and it's lacking innovation, period. We need to think about things a little bit differently. They need to think about things a little differently. They're making the moves. But we need to force them to make some different moves because they have the penalty stuff, the way they look at the black man, the black family, they look at it broken. So they need a police system. They need a system that's going to come in for domestic violence and everything else. They need this. And, yes, in some instances it's needed right now.
To reel in a little bit because you're straying off, you know, of the actual question. I understand, though. I agree and I hear what you're saying. And I will say that the child support system and the broken court systems and all the other stuff, yes, African-Americans are in a higher instance of having the single parent homes and things to that effect. But understand that this law is universal in our country.
Yes, it is.
It's universal in our country, and I will agree with you on the fact that the actual reports and incidents and things that you see with regards to, you know, the money that's being collected and definitely the hard-pressed pursuit is really into you know, the African-American men. But understand, too, that if there was another race man that's under this, they just have better resources in knowing how to find the loopholes to fight it. My whole thing is forget the race in this particular instance. Let's talk about the reasons why they say they're doing this. The children, They're using the smokescreen excuse that they're mandating this thing. That's like saying, I'm forcing you to love that child, and I'm also forcing you to pay for something even though it wasn't your mess or even though it wasn't your
fault. I'm telling you why they done it.
I don't think the government has the right to do that. You can't say, you're saying in one out of one side of your breath that if we allowed you to just walk away from this because this blood test exonerates you from biological relationships, then you're going to hurt the child. If that's what you're using, in turn, you're telling him, forget your anger, the blood test, and all the other stuff you heard. You were pretty much kind enough to love this child, so, oh, well, you're stuck with it. Because that's the image you're giving them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this is what we need to tell the government. We need to make that, take your focus off of that and put more energy on these ones that's hiding assets and the ones that's not paying their fair share like they're supposed to the children that's biologically there. Mm-hmm. Put more energy up in that. Put more time toward that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to lollygag on something that is really not positive, because the child that's really been proven to be biological and you playing games, getting little pennies and nickels of money here and there and stuff like that, instead of going after what the child's fair share is, or taking years after the blood test and been already done, and then you finally make this person that already works for the government and has a lot of jobs and stuff like that, this person not in jail, incarcerated, or they not out there and don't have a job. They got a full mental capacity to be handling their business, but you let them go years without taking care of their child. They didn't hid assets, everything. That's what more time needs to be spent in, instead of trying to force somebody to take care of a child they didn't already took care of that's not theirs. Now, the ones that need to be started taking care of, the ones that's been proven. That's what we need to go to the government about, to C-SPAN, the White House, to put more energy into. That's where the law needs to be put. That needs to be something like, that needs to be like the way they're doing our children. That's the way that law for when it's not proven he not the daddy. Well, guess what? That's on him what he want to do. The law shouldn't have nothing to do with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The law stepping in that way, okay, is not protecting the child. But wouldn't the child benefit whether or not it turns out to be that the person who biologic, let me clear this little exception to the rule. If the father that is biologically connected to the child is a person that's dangerous, abusive, a convicted pedophile, anything that is above and beyond a propership or propriety, I should say, yeah, then in that respect, then, I could understand protecting the child that way. But not at the expense of mandating a man who has loved the child anyway, but found out that there was, deception involved, okay, to force them to deal with it regardless by threatening their freedoms, by threatening their liberties, by threatening their quality of life. You understand? I'm all for a person making sure that they take care of a child they brought into the world, because the child did not pick their parents. The child did not pick who they were born to. They are not responsible for themselves until they are old enough to be able to do what you are supposed to be teaching them how to do for themselves. So we are responsible for them. But I don't think that is the excuse that they're using to put this capitalistic into place. Okay, it's truly the reason for them doing this. You will have a better chance, like I said, of a person going through their grief, going through their anger, and venting what's wrong and getting upset, confronting whoever they need to confront, and then going off, clearing their head, and remembering that they love this child. And whether or not they continue on as the father role, or they continue on and just leave the door open between that child and them, that will happen better when they're allowed to deal with their anger and their issues without having the stress of, now I got to pay this deceptive bitch some stuff.
They don't want your
children. Then she hooks up with another man, or the man that impregnated her. Mm-hmm. And this guy is going to start feeling like, even though it's supposed to be in the name of child support, is she really giving the kid all the money he's paying her?
You don't want
to
do it.
You're saying that that happens, and it's wrong. I think the law needs to allow these men to be off the hook, and it would be wonderful if we had some real big-hearted and big men out there that can say, "But I don't care about that. I'm going to take care of her anyway." But, you know, if they didn't have the extra stress on them, I would love for that to be. But you can't mandate a person to love a child or how to feel about something by forcing them to pay for something that they really are not legally responsible to. I would rather, and then it's a lot better for that child to know who their real father is and be able to choose to deal with them or not, but at least know who they are. How exactly is the government forcing somebody to feel or stay involved or do whatever, really helping the child not be irreparably damaged?
They want to hurt your children. They don't.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. To me, it's so funny because it's like they sit back and it's like you know, even if it's not on purpose, it's like they want to scar your children. They want to step in and stigma everything and make it a policing issue when it happens. You know, to the scapegoat, you know, and the scapegoat of society are the people that they are changing legislation and creating this type of legislation for. You know, they don't do it to interfere in, you know, their own households or even their own perceived majority households. They're talking about what they think are the fragmented families in society. They call themselves stepping in, but they do a terribly poor job and take no responsibility for it. Now, a lot of the paternity fraud and the things that have gone on against men, against children, and against women, you know, maybe the government, you know, has to hold some type of responsibility for allowing fraud to go on for so long. Anything that has gone on and stretched out for a long period of time, you know, somebody suffered, okay? Somebody endured that long period of time, you know, for something to be resolved. And we are dealing with a governmental broken system. And that's all I'm saying is broken down, you know, lacks any innovation. What they do is they reconstruct the same laws in the same times, and all they do is show the same data, you know, and they interpret that similar data, or they interpret a different data the same way in a prejudice or biased way, you know, in a way that's not for healing, not for causing, you know, a betterment for a family or anything like that. So it's just like we just need to, we really need to grow morally, culturally, so that, you know, the legislation is like that in Maryland now, so it doesn't surprise me. So I'm almost complacent with it, almost. It's like, wow. So it's like we should know, we should just elevate morally so that when things like this happen, we got to stomp it down, because I don't know when it happened here, when it happened in that area. It was maybe in the 80s or 90s. I don't know.
I think that, especially for us as Mexican American people, we definitely have to start dealing with a lot more preventative measures than we are in reactive measures. We need to start being a lot more proactive, like getting back to the roots of our morality, of our respect, the cherishing the love, the cherishing the family structure, the village mentality. We need to get back to that, because that brings us to be more selective and cherish really a relationship before jumping into any old hot whatever, okay? We really respect the value of, you know, a child being brought up, parenting, things to that effect. I think that women should be truthful, as hard as it's going to be. If you had an affair, if you dealt with something, you need to give the man in your life the opportunity to understand that there's a possibility it could go one way or the other. You know, and I know that's easier said than done. And I know that, you know, your life could come crumbling down or whatever. But in the end, it's going to catch up to you anyway, and your child is going to be worse. And it's probably going to be worse off than it would have been. So that's one. Definitely, if you're in a relationship and it's a good one, don't cheat. This is taking the government out of it for a second. Don't cheat. If you're a man that's out there, that's, you know, it's sad, but I think that with today's society, that they should possibly have, as the way that they have all these mandatory blood tests in a big old panel, when they take one or two tubes of your blood at the prenatal care and afterwards when you have the baby and stuff, and all these blood tests that they take on the baby, I think the state should make it a mandatory test to be taken, so that before these new fathers sign this acknowledgement of paternity, they know. I think, as much as, you know, I really hate the fact of whatever, but so many of these outrageous and backlash and backfires are happening, that our children are becoming more angrier than ever, more messed up, more abandoned, more confused. Because really, the average person doesn't know how to separate the love for their child versus the men of pride. The greatest and best of men have pride and have an ego. And most of these men, and I remember when I sat there and I actually surveyed a few guys who were in it, or guys that imagine themselves in it, no matter how much they love somebody else's child, after finding it out that way, they always have the fear that the biological father could pop up at any day and strip them of everything that they've accomplished just because of their blood. And for you women that are out there not really understanding the aftermath and the real effects and damage that it does to the men, you listen to what I'm saying to you. It's really hard for a guy to have a nagging feeling like looking over his shoulder all the time, that as much as he loved this person, as much as the child may love him, as much as he's secure in the facts, as much as all these legal papers say this or whatever, that in one split second, the deadbeat dad could show up and claim blood and take him to court and do all this stuff. Then you got the government saying, tell who the father really is. He knows you, or he knows you. So, well.
When they can brag about something they did right,
and so they don't sound so bad. Then they say, because if we take the child away from a scenario they've known, children are a lot more resilient than we give them credit for. That child will cry, be hurt, have to deal with it. But if it was going in a clean manner, if it was done where the person was able to confront each other, talk to each other, deal with the fact that they're angry at, I guess, the mom or whatever the case is, without the government looking over this man's shoulder and saying, if you don't pay, we're going to kill you, that a whole lot better results would happen when the child and that man can come to grips with everything that's bothering them and get to the bottom of what's the real matter. The government isn't thinking about you specifically. The government is testing you based on a general consensus of things. When you're making a law, you're passing a bill about something that intimate. This is not something that you can say one size speaks for all, because majority would say this. Each and every person has a heart and feeling and a different way to react to something and a different way it can affect them later. This is a situation. So the government using this crap that you're the legal father, but not the biological father, so legally you're responsible. But it's not about money. It's about the child. Really. So if it's not about money and you taking $500 a month from the husband or the father or the other person, and you're only giving the mother off $350.
Sounds like incentive not to marry.
Welfare recipients are mandated to go and cooperate with the child support offices because they claim they're working on your behalf. And
yep.
If you don't comply with them, your little benefits get cut or lifted or suspended until you go back to them like they're forcing you to answer a woman. And then they will go to court and tell that deadbeat father that you're on the hook for $1,000 a month because we've calculated based on the amount of children that you have and the amount of things that they'll need on a basic level. Mm-hmm. And it comes to $1,000 a month. But the welfare recipient only gets $50 extra every month. So where's the justice in that?
This is what she has to do. What she has to do is if you know that even if it's a few dollars under what the welfare amount is, you get off of the welfare and do your best to try to get a part-time job either before or once you cut that child support off. That's the best thing to do. But what I would recommend any man to do from this day forward, there is Walgreens, it's $39.99, and you do have to pay the $300-$400 in 9 months. You can work two jobs and get $400 and get it certified. When you get the test at Walgreens, it's that company that Maury and most states use. It's what majority of states use. And another solution is you can have the DNA people come up to the hospital within 24 hours when that baby born and come take that blood test. That's the two suggestions that we could suggest for the next guy that's to sign a birth certificate on tomorrow, next week, or the next whatever.
And before we even get to that, even though that is definitely, you are so right, on that being something that could possibly, prevent at least the child growing up into deception. But how about we start remembering to teach our people and our young men and women to start valuing or really preventing getting into early parenthood, okay, or really respecting themselves and respecting what it means to get into such a big responsibility. To choose the people you're with, to kind of be faithful, to the people that you're with. You understand? So it's like before we even get to the point of having to buy all this scientific laboratory toys, before we have to get to going to a judge and asking them to put our men on the calendar so we could chase, or before these guys are being chased down by the capitalist police to put them on the hook and help them pay for the economic deficit. Before the government has to even be called, because it's starting to seem like the government is becoming a poison pill.
Uh-huh.
And especially government intervening in family matters. That is a definite disastrous mix. I'm not speaking, like I said, about those pedophilic bastards that are out there ruining a girl or a boy's innocence. I'm not speaking about you drunk idiots that look at your own kin and find some sexual arousal in it. Or those of you that can't stand the fact that your child looks like the mother or the father and you're beating them down. I'm not speaking about them. They're the vermin that have nothing to do with this particular situation. But when two parents are dealing, especially now, with these mutant teenagers we have, from all the GMOs and GHBs and all this other stuff that's in their food, to all the explicit, supposed to be teen and kiddie shows that are being shown nonstop on the TV, to the government telling your child, you can go have sex, have an abortion, get birth control, you don't have to ask your parents, don't say anything, just make sure it's safe, because if you get messed up, we can't treat you in the hospital, save your life, unless we get your parents' consent. So for those people that are still in their kids' lives despite all of those odds, government needs to mind their damn business.
Well, you know what? When we're able to handle our business more and where we're less dependent on them, where we don't need them to come, you know, the Indians, they say it's only about, what, 10,000 purebred Indians throughout the whole country. They have more rights than us. They have their own bureau. We don't. And what has to happen is we have to have a steady culture where we don't need them. So where, you know, if you got to work two jobs, if you're not in a network, do your best to make sure, you know, you're in a relationship. Don't be stuck with, I ain't got no job. She go get food stamps. She go get welfare. She go get public housing. Because it's really not that easy. She putting her name on the line. You know, and all of the nosiness that goes with I don't really get why somebody want to be in that system because they're just so overbearing. And they're even requiring, well, like I said, you're stuck either way. You're stuck between the job application and you're stuck between the food stamp office. They both require medical release records, medical release from the Social Security Administration, medical release from the hospital and your doctor.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I am with you 100%. I understand that. It's bad enough if you are a mother going in to apply for your children. You've got to pretend that you don't know who the father is or what his information is, and some of them really don't. But in order for you to even be considered eligible or to get any of this is what you have to do. And then they don't promote that the men are in the household because the first thing they want to do is say, well, why aren't you applying? And based on your credentials, you don't qualify. You know, well, if he's in the household, then, you know, he needs to go to work and then show us this and then do that. And I'm all for that. If there's a brother out there that's truly looking for a job and these guys are saying, you have to go work, that's maybe a push that they need. But then don't tell them that this is a requirement and then there's the resources out there to fulfill those requirements. But you're making it impossible for them to qualify for those solutions to the requirements.
Definitely. That's why we have to get there where we're not dependent on our children start young being responsible, managing and budgeting so that they don't have to be necessarily on the food stamps, growing a garden. So you don't have to get there because fruits and vegetables, especially organic food, is high. I mean, peanut butter is even $5 for natural peanut butter, not organic, natural. So when you have to get there, and, you know, you have to get a network. You know, that's the key thing. You know, some men want to be content. Well, I ain't got no job. I can't get no job. Well, you better get you a stronger network because, you know, I can't take some jobs because I really don't have a child care because I have to pay for child care out of pocket. Some states have where the child care is a lottery. So, okay, I done got there and interviewed people and offered to pay them, and they want their money at the end of service that day. So,
right.
You know, I have to have that, I have to sacrifice that money up front, even if that includes walking to work. So, when it's time the job was offered, you know what I'm saying, when a job is offered, then I can't take it because, then you know what I'm saying, they deal like, oh, well, I got something else that's going to pay them real money, that's going to pay them that $10,000, $12,000 that they want to get paid that they can't get paid off of babysitting.
You know what? If the government was so truly indulged in the safe, the safe, fair, you know, fairing of a child, the well, you know, protective environment, you know, the well-flourishing intentions for our children, why are they so damn dense in seeing that if the corporations were mandated to look at the women workers in this country, the women workforce, that, and I'm not talking about active workforce. I'm talking about the actual suppressed workforce that's right there under their nose that are being overlooked because based on their naked eye, a mother with children is going to be a hindrance. If they realize that women, first of all, we think with our heads, we think with our minds, we think about the big picture, we learn how to make fire from two rocks. You understand? Because anything that counts to bring something in, to making sure our family is cared for, is all that we will be loyal to. So if they would stop being so damn prejudiced or biased about imagining a woman having to run home with a sick child and realize that there's quite a few ways they can be prosperous and get the biggest yield of labor. This they provide for, A, with today's technology, they can have some legitimate salary positions where a woman with children can work from a home office and be at home, because nothing would be more of a flourishing, loyal, reliable, perfect worker than a mother who could be at home making real money and taking care of her children.
Yes.
They don't realize that a mother has to be a person who wears many hats and has to think for budgeting, has to think about how to play counselor between one or more children, has to be a stay-at-home mom, has to be a time saver, has to know how to multitask, has to think about how to do things with the best foot forward, has to think about a plan B in case plan A fails. We are constantly thinking that way. We have to think about how to make it happen when the tools that are supposed to be there don't exist. So you're sitting up there and saying that you're interfering in what already is working, and then using some BS cover story. So you've already wrecked what could just be tweaked or improved. You've broken it altogether. Because you're sitting up there up in Capitol Hill sending out paper anonymous surveys to people you'll never see, and based on how many more responses to one answer than the other you receive, you feel that that is speaking for everybody in the country. It is about us building up the internal force field, the internal power base, so that our girls don't go out there giving themselves up to every smart-talking guy who hasn't proven that he's structured enough to earn her love or earn her worth. On the other hand, our boys need to understand that, yep, them hormones are going to be making that hardness come up real quick, but just because it looks good doesn't mean it is good. And before you delve into that part, because once you have sex, there's so much more that comes with just the physical gratification. There's a whole big pool of responsibilities that come with it, including the emotional attachment or lack thereof that comes after the act. And babies come from it. And sexual diseases come from it. So if we can get them to start being a little more proactive and selective in who they actually have intimate contact with, maybe these babies wouldn't be in the position of having to have a man be wrongfully attached or wrongfully on the hook. And there wouldn't be any babies to have to protect from some irreversible damage. So Shonez, give me some additional updated thoughts that you have in your head right now. Give me some solutions. What do you think we can do right now to at least start to make a dent in this problem?
We have so many deck of cards, so many books to shuffle and deal with, that when you work on one solution, that come another one you got to balance, another one. But the first thing, we just got to, you know, it's going to have to be more responsibility in our community, you know. It's like people going to have to really start seeing people for who they are, because most of the women, you know what I'm saying, somebody told them, 100-plus people probably told them, well, you know this and that before it probably even was a baby possible to be conceived, before a baby even came along. But I'm gonna say this day forward, a man have no excuse to be affected by the law. The one thing is, we could advocate for the men before last month and before they have signed the birth certificate and paying child support or whatever so ever in that situation. That's what we could continue to advocate, that this law is reversed for them. But for those this day forward going on to next day, it's no sense of making no mistakes. I mean, we get $400 for everything else. We better, in 9 months, go. If you got to get 2 or 3 jobs, go. You know, it's mail season during this time. They hiring. But the plants all these factory companies, I mean, they better go through the phone book, stay at the career center. They better do what they can. Get the $400, and before signing that birth certificate, have them at that hospital or definitely be going to Walgreens and bringing that test up there and get it sent off. Some states, Louisiana give you 5 days. Tennessee give you a year for you to sign and place the name on the birth certificate. So the state law affects everything. Some laws, some states give a reasonable amount of time. Some states don't. Some states is still, okay, you give a year to change the birth certificate, but then you may take 5 years intentionally, not to, even if the blood test taken in 3 months, it might not catch up to the person 5 years later.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My God, you have said so much power in that those words. I think another thing we can do, now, like I said, I think prevention is always the best tool. It's always the best weapon, all right? But since we know that we are dead set right now in the middle of the mess, what can we do to start cleaning up from the debris? I think that with all these newly elected officials or whatever, we definitely as constituents need to start putting out all of these petitions and really sticking on their ass about alleviating these men. And listen, I think when these men start feeling the one, and like I said, the ones that got duped and are on the hook for being legal, having legal paternity versus biological ones, usually are guys that stood in the child's life in the first place. You understand? So those are the good men, the ones that aren't running around trying to drop their responsibilities or trying to ignore the fact that there's a dependent child around them. So obviously, these men who are going through this stuff were people that were there and got hurt by the deception. Okay? If these men heard that legally, they actually have a reprieve, there's a break, there's some hope, perhaps they would be able, like I said, to reconnect with the good people they already are and say, I'm rising above and beyond the adult's deception, and I'm not going to take away the love or mess up this girl's security or this little boy's security. Because that child in itself has nothing to do with what's at stake. That can't happen if all these men are doing is dealing with the blind rage, hurt, and brokenness of being deceived. And then they can't walk away to clear their heads because the government is saying, whether you're physically there or not, you love this child, she loved you, he loved you. You're on the hook because they're not going to make the extra effort to go find the biological bastards that left them there.
Yeah.
And in the process, every time these men make a payment, the government takes a little off the top. So this man is servicing not only the child that he loved and found out isn't his, but if whoever this woman brings into her life and decides to shack up with, whatever money he's paying is going toward helping her help her household. It's a real mess. And I think if these men emotionally and legally had a feeling of they're protected, you know, and that as much as it doesn't take away the pain of it, at least it's not kicking you in the injury. It's not rubbing salt in already open wounds. And a lot of you women don't seem to understand that just because men aren't a hot mess or sit there crying or whatever, doesn't mean they don't hurt. Doesn't mean that losing a child in their mind, the proverbial loss or whatever the case is, okay, the symbolic loss of that blood connection that they believed and cherished is gone. They don't understand how to jump back and say, regardless of the blood connection, I still love you right away. And that kills them. And I'm not, once again, exonerating those people that are out there being total assholes. But I'm talking about the ones that are sitting up there trying to do the best that they can and try to still remain good and beat the odds and, you know, knock off the stereotype. How can they do that when already you and the law is making them feel that it's not worth being a good person. The government has no right, no true understanding, no true experience, no true knowledge of what it will do to a person to make a law like that. That is not something that I believe belongs to a government to make. That is emotion. That is emotion. That is human feeling. And the government can't regulate that. Dale, are you still with me?
I'm still here.
I know you're there, Shanez. Carlos, you there? All right. So, politically speaking, Shanez, what can we do? Legally speaking, I said in passing, that child support was actually being forced to pay back overpayments to these men. Do you think that's a good step?
I'm active with this child support group that do a lot of active webinars, and I've had it on my calendar to physically attend one of them. They do a child support child. I know they're collaborating with another child care organization, so I have to come back with the exact name of that company. There's an actual child support organization that is in big collaborations with the. With the U.S. Child Support Office, and you know, the thing is, definitely be active with those seminars and make sure our voices are heard. Our voices need to be more heard on C-SPAN, because when you listen to C-SPAN, you may have one black person out, maybe out the whole day, or one so many black people in a day. We need to have our voices on there, because I'm sure when the people overseas hearing, they're probably like, oh. Well, that may be true. Those black people are lazy. They don't even call in the C-SPAN. Why you don't hear their voices on there? So we need to get more active with those laws before they get signed by Congress.
Okay. Halo?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe, from a legal standpoint, systematically, okay, that if these men that were victims of paternity fraud, okay, if these men heard from the law that they are free to make the choice to continue on or not without legal penalties, without threat of their freedoms being taken or anything, do you believe that that would make a more positive dent in allowing these men to stay with the child anyway?
Most definitely, because it would take away some of the people resent when their civil rights are being taken away. It's a liberty, you know, to make a choice to have a family. And most men probably would stay, you know, real men. So either way, you know, I would definitely agree with you. It's like it's totally reverse what they're trying to do. It's like they want to keep cracking whips, you know, on other people's families.
You're right. That saying that you can get more flies with honey than vinegar, there's a reason for that. If I was working a late shift at work, and I'm in a job that I really don't like, but I really have to, I really need to pay my bills, okay? And I've got to deal with a bunch of, really nasty people all day. And bosses that are not so nice. But then there's this one manager that comes in on the shift and is nice and humane to me and says, you know what, Katie, I know you've been working all day. I know you had a hard, you know, like people were giving you a hard time, and I know that you've already worked, like, you know, some little hours, but I really need your help because I'm short-staffed. Could you please just stay an extra hour or two? Don't you think that no matter what else I was feeling, no matter how much pain and aggravation I went through, that if somebody approached me that way, I would be more willing to sacrifice a little more? rather than somebody saying, oh, well, I don't care, we're short staffed and your contract says that you have to stay here, so if you don't, I have the right to write you up. You'll get more fathers keeping these children in their lives and keeping these children together and staying with it regardless of what they went through, because they'll find a reward in that more than having to deal with the deception, like I said, and then the government telling them, you better still take care of them or else. So, no, I don't think government interfering. I think it promotes, festive, manufactures, and continues to help flourish paternity fraud, gold diggers. I think that it causes much more damage to a child to have somebody that's in there who's resenting being there, not because of the child themselves, but because of the things they have to go through after they felt they've been played a fool. To have to look at a person who, when one day he might get mad and say, that's not my kid anyway, not because he means to, but he's so hurt and he's pissed off. I think that the child would be a whole lot more upset and messed up and violated and corrupted than knowing that this person still loves them, that they were hurt too, and that he might walk away, but he'll always love them. And also, they have the benefit of knowing who their biological father is, whether or not the person is a good person or not. So I'm going to ask you, Stalo, what do you think that we can do now to make, you know, to put a dent in this, doing a positive change?
To do a positive change, right? I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think laws like this, you know, have always rubbed me the wrong way, and I think you're absolutely right. And I think you're one of the first people to draw attention to them. And Katie, you know, and it's like, first of all, we need to be totally against these laws. That our moral character, like responsibility, like the lady said, like you said, like at the end of the day, we don't need. You know, like, it's almost like Southern style manufactured laws, Jim Crow style type stuff, man. We don't need a new Jim Crow, okay? We need incentives. We need more jobs, you know, and money. You know, the old way of economy, the old way of law enforcement doesn't work. So, you know, especially in families, which we have a little bit more power than we lead on, I think we need to flex on it. We need to really flex on it. You know, and really, and Katie, like I said, that law is probably around in a lot more places. We need to really focus on it and see what it really is. It's an infringement upon civil rights, you know, for all people in America.
What I want to say is, with all the money we spend up in our community and let go out of our community, we wouldn't need to be really looking for jobs if we got there supporting more of our businesses to hire us.
Mm. Right. And that's why I say we need, like, our own courts and our own ways of, like, you know, dealing with community so that we can really address when they're trying to flex these types of laws on our communities. You know,
well, they're already in place now, Stalo, is what I'm saying. Men across America are being played right into the hands of these vindictive women, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there are some rare exceptions where it really was miscalculation or they didn't think it could be or whatever. And, you know, later on, I'm going to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. But these laws are all in place mandating these men who find out that the kids that they loved and took care of and sacrificed for are not biologically theirs. Then these fathers come out the woodwork and start trying to cause rifts between this person, you know, and all sorts of stuff. And the law is telling this man, you have to deal with all of that. I don't care what the bus say. They're not doing it for the child. They're doing it because they don't want to take the extra manpower to go after these biological men. You want me to give you a perfect example? The Support Bureau of I'm going to just speak about it from the New York City aspect. On public assistance, when you are forced to comply with the child support office to give them as much information as possible, this is their words, you are mandated to comply with them in order to keep your peanuts on public assistance. You are mandated to cooperate with the OCSC of New York City, which is the Office of Child Support Enforcement. Okay? And what they say is, we need you to come help us help you and your child. They say, and oh, I love the ones that were bragging, talking about, we're on to all these men's games now. You know, some of them are getting off the book jobs. You know, we're going to find them. We go out there and we look for them. Really? Well, let me ask you this. I know a person that gave the child support office because she was with her children's father for many years. And he just up and decided to leave one day and not be bothered. Okay? Now, this lady not only gave the Social Security number, she gave him every job he ever worked. She knew exactly where he gets his jewelry from, where he sits in the park to drink his beer, where he goes to buy the beer, what girls he was staying with, everything that he needs to find him, minus GPS in the man's penis. Okay? And he got to sleep on a 4-year child support order that was mandated by a judge in family court. Put on the record that $1,000 a month to all of the children that he fathered and left. Since May of 2010, he hasn't paid a damn dime in 2014. And through those years, whenever he found out where she lived, he would pop up with new chains, new sneakers, new clothes, money for beer, money for the club, laughing in her face, saying, you took me to court and child support's after me. Well, guess what? They ain't find me yet. So do they really want to go after these men for your children's benefit?
I know what you mean, because guess what? I'm just like her. I did the same thing. I had everything. And still, it took 3 years. It took 3 years. I took it 1 year, and then 3 years later, that's when they finally called. He invaded 4. And then that's when they finally mandated him. Well, he had been mandated, but I had to get some extra stuff involved.
I'll tell you right now, I believe that if men were given the legal reprieve that has been tricked, that there would be more non-biological fathers still sticking around. I believe that's the way you go about it. Okay? I believe that if these men felt that as much as it was a messed up thing and they already got taken, that they're not forced to continue to live in hell, they would man up and do their own thing. They would probably take care of that child and give that child what they need without the government putting a drill in their neck. I believe that these biological fathers, okay, need to be pegged a little more. I believe real efforts need to be made to find these people. I believe that if anybody is going to pay the government for all the work that they've done or all the benefits they've paid out to these mothers, that the biological fathers should have a separate mandate to pay the city. So we're down to our last 3 minutes, guys, and I want to say, Shawnaz, what a wonderfully charged, interaction with you tonight, and for all that you do, you know, I appreciate that. Stalo, thank you for hanging out. Al Tariq, I know he had to drop off, but he always comes out with bullets firing, and I love it. And I want to thank all of you that have been inboxing me and giving me feedback as we talk, and thank you all. I just want to say that I appreciate and cherish you guys for doing what you do in your communities and for standing up throughout the odds and the forced changes and the things that we see. We definitely can't believe that it's going to stay like this or end like this or this is all we have. Our children need to remember what it is we were taught, that there is real value in loving yourself and respecting what love means and truly cherishing the sanctity of marriage or monogamy or, you know, respecting your relationship, that children truly are the first most precious gift that you get. That your body is a precious temple and things to that effect that a lot of people shouldn't be able to have without real big credentials. And that's for both boys and girls. Because I'm really like sick and tired of these limited-minded men thinking that when I make a statement like this, that I'm referring to girls by treasure and they can leave men around. So I will see you guys back here tomorrow. Whole new subject. You'll be seeing it coming up. 10:30, everybody. You know, tonight was an exception. Want to thank you all for showing up, showing us. Thank you. Stalo, thank you. Al Tariq, thank you. And until tomorrow night, everyone, be blessed. Be a blessing. Make a difference. Keep up the fight. And God bless you. And I will see you here tomorrow. Good night.
Good night.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.